Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 13, Dhritarashtra quits home, text 19. Pratikriyana yasyeha.
Pratikriyana yasyeha.
Kutaschit karhichit prabho.
Kutaschit karhichit prabho.
Saesha Bhagavan Kala.
Saesha Bhagavan Kala.
Sarvesham na samagata.
Sarvesham na samagata.
Pratikriya.
Pratikriya.
Remedial measure.
Remedial measure.
Na.
Na.
There is none.
There is none.
Yasya.
Yasya.
Of which.
Of which.
Iha.
Iha.
In this world.
In this world.
Kutaschit.
Kutaschit.
By any means.
By any means.
Karhichit.
Karhichit.
Or by anyone.
Or by anyone.
Prabho.
Prabho.
O my Lord.
O my Lord.
Saha.
Saha.
That.
That.
Esha.
Esha.
Positively.
Positively.
Bhagavan.
Bhagavan.
The personality of Godhead.
The personality of Godhead.
Kala.
Kala.
The eternal one.
Eternal one.
Or eternal time.
Eternal time.
Sarvesham.
Sarvesham.
Of all.
Of all.
Naha,
Naha
of us,
of us.
Samagata,
Samagata
arrive.
Arrive.
Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. This frightful situation cannot be remedied by any person in this material world. My Lord, it is the Supreme Personality of Godhead as eternal time, Kala, that has approached us all. Purport. There is no superior power which can check the cruel hands of death. No one wants to die, however acute the source of bodily sufferings may be. Even in the days of so-called scientific advancement of knowledge, there is no remedial measure, either for old age or for death. Old age is the notice of the arrival of death, served by cruel time, and no one can refuse to accept either summons, calls, or the supreme judgment of eternal time. This is explained before Dhritarashtra because he might ask Vidura to find out some remedial measure for the imminent fearful situation, as he had ordered many times before. Before ordering, however, Vidura informed Dhritarashtra that there was no remedial measure by anyone from any source in this material world. And because there is no such thing in the material world, death is identical with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as it is said by the Lord Himself in the Bhagavad Gita 10:34. Death cannot be checked by anyone or from any source within this material world. Hiranyakashipu wanted to be immortal and underwent a severe type of penance by which the whole universe trembled, and Brahma himself approached him to dissuade Hiranyakashipu from such a severe type of penance. Hiranyakashipu asked Brahma to award him the blessings of immortality, but Brahma said that he himself was subject to death, even in the topmost planet, so how could he award him the benediction of immortality? So there is death even in the topmost planet of this universe. What to speak of other planets, which are far, far inferior in quality to Brahmaloka, the residing planet of Brahma, the residing planet of Brahma. Wherever there is the influence of eternal time, there is a set of tribulations, namely birth, disease, old age, and death, and all of them are invincible. Pratikriyana yasyeha kutaschit karhichit prabho saesha bhagavan kala sarvesham na samagata. This fearful situation cannot be remedied by any person in this material world. O my Lord, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the eternal, as God, Supreme Personality of Godhead as the eternal time, Kala, that has approached us all. Mam Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutaya Srimate Bhakti Vidanta Swamita Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskaryade Sadharana. Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains the process of obtaining him. For instance, he says, Priyana Kali Manasachalena, that Priyana Kali Manasachalena Bhakti Yukto Yoga Balena Chaiva Pravoramadye Pranamavesha Samyak Sitam Paramam Purushamupaiti Divya. That if you practice the Ashtanga Yoga system, then it is possible to begin the process of fixing the mind upon Krishna. And that's further explained as Sarva Dwarani Samyamya Mano Rudhya Nirudhya Murdhyani Atmata Pranam Asita Yoga Dharani. You'll have to control the life areas of the body and be able to fix them upon the top of the head. Then Om Ike Kaktara Brahma Vyaharamam Musram Yapriyati Dhyanjeham Siyati Paramam Gatiyam. Then as one is quitting the body, one should vibrate the sacred syllable Om, and that way, thinking of Krishna as one is leaving the body, one may go to the higher, if not spiritual, planets. Now for us, we don't even know where the life airs are, what to speak of bringing them in. Once in a while we hear the life air, but it's not exactly we're fixing it anywhere. So in this age it's considered more or less impossible task to try to figure out how to bring the life air anywhere, what to speak of the top of the head. And then with our being there, whoever we might be, take the life air out of the body, and at the same time thinking about Krishna and chanting the sacred syllable Om. This is a practically inconceivable process in this age. Therefore Krishna says, Ananya Chintayantoma Ye Jana Paripasate Tesham Unashi Ananya Chintayantoma Ananya Chaita Saratam Yomam Smarti Nityasa Tasyaham Subala Parta Nityuktas Yogina. For one who is constantly engaged in remembering me without deviation, for him I'm actually easy to obtain, O son of Kundi. Ananyas Chaita Sadatam, one whose consciousness is always fixed on me. Ananyas Chaita Sadatam, Yomam Smarati Nityasa, always engaged in remembering me. Ananyas Chaita Sadatam, Yomam Smarati Nityasa, Tasyam Subala Parada, I'm easy to obtain. Nityuktasya Yogina, for one who's always engaged in such yoga practice. That's Bhagavad Gita. Chapter 8, text number 15. Then Krishna says, Mamupeti Panarajanma Dukaliyama Shasatam Natmuvanti Mahatmana Samsiti Paramam Gita. Those who are yoga, 14 actually. 8:14. For those who are constantly engaged in meditating upon me, I'm easy to Mamupetya Punarjanma. After obtaining me, the great souls who are yogis in devotion never come back to this miserable temporary world because they're fixed in devotion to me. Abrahma Bhuvana Loka Puna Avartano Jana Mamupetya Tukonteya Punarjanmanu Vidyate. From the highest planet in the world, the material world, down to the lowest, they're all places of misery where repeated birth and death take place. In other words, to a certain extent, we have to realize that the material world is not a pleasant place, and that if we exchange one unpleasant place for a less unpleasant place, it doesn't make it, it doesn't mean it's not unpleasant. If you're in prison and you're put into solitary confinement, and being a good prisoner, they give you a Class A prison cell where there's flowers on the bars. It doesn't mean you're not in prison anymore. It means that there's just some flowers on your bars. Sometimes in prison, when you're good, they let you have a television set inside your prison. So now you're free to watch television. So you can, they actually, it's probably so that you can suffer more. But actual freedom is when you get out of the prison. Similarly, the soul doesn't know that there's another place which is actually where there's freedom. A person who's in the hospital, he's had a car accident, a truck ran over him a couple of times. He has tubes inside every opening in his body. He's eating through a drip on his arms. He's been like that for 3 months. And when someone comes and tells him how nice the weather is outside, he can't really imagine what normal life is like, because for him, life is to be in a bed with tubes in and out all his different openings and eating through a drip. He can't move, he can hardly speak, and that's life. So in our material conditioned life, where we're surrounded by a material body, our whole experience is material. When we hear about freedom, we think, oh, it's something like my material condition. I'll go to the spiritual world, and there I'll also have some kind of body, and in the body I'll have to go to the spiritual physician, have my checkup, make sure my spiritual body is still healthy. I'll have some service. There'll be some temple commander in some Chintamani palace telling me what to do all day. I'll be in some transcendental kitchen washing dishes forever. Everyone else is playing and I'm simply sweeping and washing dishes. And they tell me, don't complain. So when we imagine the spiritual world, we imagine it's something like this world. And there Krishna is the big boss, and Radharani is the big, you know, consort of the big boss, and everyone else is like little nothings, specks of dust. Luckily, if you get it, you know, trampled on. So that's our imagination, what the spiritual world is like. The guy who's lording it over everyone, you know, brush my shoe, give me prasadam, fan me. Yes, boss, yes, boss. Wait a second, I don't want to be here. Well, you know where you can go. So this is one of the Vikaraga Bhaya Krodha. This is one of the products of being attached to material energy, being covered by illusion. We're always frustrated and fearful about what the future holds. And even when something better is described to us, we only imagine it in terms of our own experience. But Krishna does try to put a little fear into us, that the material world is a temporary, miserable place. Some people don't realize that. They think, actually, the material world is a great place, and it's going to get better. They're coming out with new updates to my computer programs. We're making progress. The buildings are getting taller. The cars are getting faster, the hard drives are getting bigger. Everything's improving. What are they talking about? Before I was only making $500 a month, now I'm making $10,000. Of course, it's only worth $2. But soon I'll be a millionaire, although I won't be able to buy a bar of candy with my $1 million. But I can get right home to my mother. I've made my first million. Now, in order to pay the rent, I'm going to have to make my first billion. So people are in this idea that everything's improving, everything's getting better, my body may be deteriorating, I can't remember who I am anymore. My whole family has left their body, the other half has some incurable disease. But it's getting better because they have a new television program on, all about health. So unless one is a little bit aware of the fact that we are going to grow old and leave this body, and we should make some plans for our next body. And what is that plan? Is it something very complicated? I'm going to have to, renounce everything and move into the forest, and live there. Of course, where is the forest nowadays to live? You go to the forest and they're shooting animals there, or they're having picnics here in the forest, trying to have some peace of mind. Someone comes in with their oven, whatever it is, the barbecue and the blasting rock music, and you're trying to sit there and meditate. You've renounced everything, but there is no forest nowadays. So we think I'm going to renounce everything, move into the forest, fix my mind at the point of my nose, and meditate upon Krishna. But that would not be very practical, because as soon as we think like that, we'd immediately remember what we saw on television 20 years ago. Oh, we worry about, I'm not there for the Sunday feast. And I was supposed to serve out, now I'm in the forest. We'd simply be in anxiety. I didn't have my dental checkup before I went. Maybe I should go back and have my dental checkup. I forgot my Q-tips. No, it's not very practical. Therefore, Krishna says, just try to chant Hare Krishna. And if we have some faith and we chant Hare Krishna, actually calling out to Srimati Radharani and Krishna, not to solve our material problems, but to solve our spiritual problem, which will automatically solve our material problems, solve our problems that we're not engaged in Krishna's loving service. And if we're sincere and we actually are really calling out for Krishna, and if Krishna reveals himself, then our mind will naturally be attracted to Krishna, because Krishna is full of pleasure. Radha and Krishna are full of pleasure, and actually our mind will be able to think about Radha and Krishna and their associates constantly. And for one who is able to do that, then there is no more worrying about leaving the material body, because one will know that at the end of leaving this material body, my consciousness will not be diminished, it'll go on. Even if I take another body, I'll still have my same Krishna consciousness. I won't be disturbed by different material circumstances. Dhirya tatra namuyati. One who's dhira, one who's able to fix his consciousness upon Krishna, he's not bewildered by all these different changes of the body. One doesn't think that one is changing as the body changes. One knows that one is eternally full of bliss and full of knowledge. By realization, guru na pivi chalayate. And therefore, even in the greatest difficulty, one is not disturbed. This is the sign of an actual pure devotee, that even in great material difficulties, one is able to still remain fixed in Krishna consciousness. when Srila Prabhupada had his heart attacks in 26 Second Avenue. They brought him to the hospital. The doctors were complaining when they were trying to operate on him that this old man keeps on chanting Hare Krishna. They thought it was some kind of problem he had. When Prabhupada was, they informed the devotees in 1974 that there was going to be an opening of the Krishna Balaram temple. And all the devotees were invited for the grand opening of the temple. I think maybe it was 75, I can't remember. They sent out all the invitations because Prabhupada was receiving information that the temple was just about to be completed. Sarabi and Gunarava and others were trying to encourage Prabhupada. Of course, it was all false. Guru Das was sending him all these letters about how everything is almost ready. Prabhupada arrived there after inviting dignitaries from all over India, inviting devotees from all over the world. All the tickets were bought. They were ready to open the temple. And Prabhupada came there. There were just some bricks here and there. And some bags of cement just lying around. So what did Prabhupada do? He became furious, like Shiva at the time of devastation, or Ananda Shesha breathing out fire from his mouth and burning all the universe to ashes. So even Prabhupada's glance was burning the devotees to death. And this went on for a couple of hours. The devotees were hiding in all different parts, behind the bricks, behind the cement bags. Finally, Prabhupada went into his room, which was just like, you know, three walls with no roof. Sat behind his desk. One devotee approached Prabhupada, and Prabhupada was perfectly calm, undisturbed. So the devotees were quite surprised. The devotee approached him, because just a moment before, Prabhupada was breathing fire, and scorching, you know, the Krishna Balaram temple. And they asked Prabhupada, how is this actually possible? One moment you were so fiery, and the next moment you seemed to be so calm. Prabhupada said, a pure devotee is just like in an ocean. On the surface, there are waves, there is a cyclone, typhoon, with all the different winds blowing. There are so many disturbances happening on the surface of the ocean, but deep down in the ocean, everything is very calm. The pure devotee is actually living deep down inside of Krishna consciousness, relishing the transcendental passions of Krishna with his devotees. But externally, as an instrument for Krishna, he's manifesting different activities in order to help the living entities come back to the spiritual world. Therefore, if one goes deep into Krishna consciousness, that's the only way of becoming undisturbed by the ups and downs of material existence. One cannot expect that one can arrange things, especially in Kali Yuga, especially on this earth planet, in such a way as to live peacefully and happily for a long, long time. Neither, even if we could arrange to live peacefully and happily, but it would not be for a long time. It would only be for a short period of time. And then we have to come back to an ever more disturbing circumstances in the material world and struggle even harder to find an equally peaceful or satisfying circumstance. But if one is able to take shelter of Krishna consciousness, then one will not be disturbed by even old age, disease, and death. And even one has to take birth again, one will still remain undisturbed, remaining deeply absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Therefore, one should, before the time of death, or even at the time of death, take to the process, apuryamana, achala pratishtam, samudram apa pravishanti advat tadvat kamaya pravishanti sarve sa shantim atnoti nakama kami. A person is not disturbed by the incessant flow of desires that enter like rivers into the ocean, which is always being filled and is always still, can alone achieve peace, and not the person who strives to satisfy such desires. If one is absorbed in the process of Krishna consciousness, if one is trying to arrange one's life in such a way that throughout the 24 hours a day one cannot help but think of Krishna, then the result is being absorbed in such Krishna consciousness, even some desires come further our mind, we don't become interested in serving them and satisfying them, realizing them with our body, mind, and words. Instead, vihaya kamiyak sarvam, pumam charati nispriha, nirvamam nirahankara sashanti madhigachati. That one who gives up all desires of sense gratification, who lives free from desires, and is devoid of all sense proprietorship and false ego, he can attain real peace. So these are the things that we should work on. Work on our sense of proprietorship, work on our desires, regulate our desires. Not that we're going to give up eating, or sleeping, or even sex or defense, but regulate them so they don't become the whole basis of our lives. Thinking if I can increase these things, if I can increase the quality or the quantity of these particular activities, then my life will become more, will there be an improvement in my life. Instead, one should regulate these things as necessities to maintain the body, and at the same time, try to gradually give them up. Give up the sense of proprietorship, give up the sense of serving the false ego, worrying about my profit, my adoration, my distinction. Instead, worry more whether I'm actually acting properly as a servant of Krishna. Then Asha Brahmasati Partha Nanyam Prapu Mimuyati Stivasam Asha Brahmasati Partha Nanyam Prapu Mimuyati Stivasam Antakalepi Brahma Nirvana Rishati. That is the way of spiritual and godly life, after attaining which man is not bewildered. Being so situated, even at the hour of death, one can enter into the kingdom of God. Kadvanga Maharaj, he asked the demigods, when they offered him any benediction he wanted, he asked them, how much longer do I have to live to enjoy the benediction? They told him, one moment. It's like someone offers you, you can have whatever you want, the whole universe. Oh, very nice. But you can only have it for one moment. Thanks a lot. So he came to the earth planet, fixed his mind upon Krishna, and went back to the spiritual world. Similarly, hopefully we have more than a moment, and we probably need it. Therefore, we should try to do things, arrange our lives in such a way is we should see, is this going to help me improve my Krishna consciousness or not? It may not be a perfect activity. It may not be, you know, we're chanting Hare Krishna always in ecstasy. But we should think whether or not I should do this activity in a different way. I may be attached to the activity. I may be attached to so many things. But should I do it in some ways to help me become a little bit closer to Krishna? If we keep on thinking like that, then gradually we'll make some improvement, and one day we'll be able to actually be very close to Krishna. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
I wanted to ask, what happens if you still have good memories of your childhood? Will this stop you from going back to Krishna?
Good memories of your childhood. Yeah, of course it will stop us. You'll get another happy childhood. You'll have to take birth again to enjoy your another happy childhood. All those happy years in school,
all those happy teeth coming out of your mouth. Learning how, you know, how to use the toilet all over. All those happy years, the diapers. Yes, we'll have to have more happy years. He'll have that nice lollipop that the dentist gave you to increase his business. Easy. Take a little lollipop, kid. Let your teeth rot. I love it. Anything else?
Do we get to be patient in our spiritual life? Patient with whatever happens.
Well, patience, that's one of the qualities that Śrīla Rūpa Gosvāmī mentions. So that comes by chanting Hare Krishna and becoming purified. Because we're not patient because we don't realize we're eternal. Therefore, we think we only have, you know, so many years left. We got to fit so many things into it. If I thought I had 100 trillion years to live, we'd become very patient. What to speak of eternity? But because we don't realize we're eternal, if we're impatient. But the only way we're going to realize we're eternal is by becoming Krishna conscious. So that automatically follows. And even if we don't have the realization, at least we should have the intelligence that I'm eternal, and therefore we should act as if we were patient. And then gradually patience will come. As soon as those thoughts come, I gotta do it now, I gotta do it now. Then we should think, do I really have to do it now? We should use our intelligence. And generally the intelligence comes, no, I don't really have to do it now. It's really not so important. And then we forget, what was that I had to do? So what was so important I had to do? So generally, impatience is just a product of forgetfulness about who we really are, what we're supposed to be doing. And then we just stop and think, use our intelligence, put things in order, we'll find out it wasn't really so important, even that we did it. We have so many more important things to do. So thoughtfulness. Pray to Krishna whether I really have, when I have to do this thing, how should I remember to do it, how I should do it. Start using our intelligence in Krishna consciousness, and then patience will automatically come. Anything else? Yes. Right.
I wanted to ask, Śrīla Prabhupāda says in a purport that either in his conditional material existence or in his liberated position of full knowledge and eternity, the living entity is eternally under the control of the Supreme Lord. And I wanted to ask, how can we understand that practically in every moment we are under the control of the Supreme Lord?
How do you understand it?
Yes.
Well, read Prabhupāda's books. Read, you can read chapter 2, canto 2, chapter 2, text 35. And you'll find out that at every moment we're dependent on the super soul. We think we're moving the body, but actually it's the material energy that's moving the body under Krishna's control. And material nature is moving the body according to our desires and according to what we deserve. So we can't do anything without the help of the super soul and his energies. So you can read that. I'll explain it very carefully in detail. Anything else? Yes.
I want to ask if it's okay for a devotee to invest time and energy in practicing some kind of sport.
Some kind of sport. Well, First of all, if we were actually devotees, it wouldn't even be a question. We should practice some kind of sport. We should be a little patient. And wait till we go back to the spiritual world. There's a lot of sports there for the coward. But here in this particular body, what would be the... There may be some advantage if we, as aspiring devotees, for instance, if we never do anything. And we just sit on our... the chair all day long, and we merge into the seat. So maybe getting up once in a while, you know, might be some advantage. But what would be the advantage of playing some sport? How would that, for a devotee, what would be the reason?
Well, if he or she feels that it's helping the body physically, the body feels a little better.
Okay, what about the mind?
That's
mind. What about the intelligence? Is it possible to fix the mind on, can you actually think that this is an activity that my spiritual master in Krishna, in disciple succession, has given to me in order to please Krishna? So there may be something that can be done to help improve the body and mind. Like, the problem with sports is generally they're competitive. They have no other aim than to win. Isn't that right? That's the whole aim of sports. But things like swimming and yoga or other things like that that aren't so competitive, they're really, or walking, they're really aimed at just helping the body improve. That seems more intelligent to do that than simply, you know, using the body to defeat someone. Therefore, there are things that we can do with the body so that the bodily condition improves. Art may not be considered always in the realm of sport. Of course, nowadays, everything is in the realm of sport. Even the Olympics, they have walking. We should do it, you know, we probably went for a walk every day. He had a massage twice a day, so he was interested in maintaining the body. But he didn't play tennis or golf. We couldn't really picture Prabhupada teeing off on the golf course. It wouldn't look like a very, you know, great act of devotion on his part.
Srila Prabhupada said that the easiest way to remember Krishna is to chant his name. But what happens if we don't remember Krishna while chanting his name?
Well, if we don't remember Krishna while we're chanting his name, it's pretty unlikely we're going to remember Krishna when we're not chanting his name. Therefore, we should try to remember Krishna when we're chanting his name. If we realize that we're not remembering Krishna when we're chanting his name, that's the first step of remembering Krishna. At least we remember who we're not remembering. How much we remember Krishna? At least we should remember, you know, Kavim Puranam Nusha Sintaram Anwar Aniyam Sam Anusmaradyaha Savasya Dhataram Achinti Rupam Aditya Varnam Tamasaparad. For us done. Kavim Puran, once you think of Krishna as one who knows everything, who's the oldest? Kavim Puranam Anushasintaram, who's the smallest of the smallest? Anushasintaram, Anuryam Samanusmaradyaha, Savasi Dhataram, who's situated in everyone's heart, Achintya Rupam, who's inconceivable, who's radiant like the sun. So we should think of Krishna somehow. We don't have to think immediately Krishna and Vrindavan playing with the gopis. We should just remember something about Krishna. That's very good. But we chant Hare Krishna, we should chant the Hare Krishna as we understand Krishna, as the son of Mother Jasoda, as the cowherd boy with the flute, with the color of the new monsoon late rain cloud. We should chant to that Krishna. not to Krishna as, you know, the judge, as Vishnu, who's watching me chant, ready to destroy me for my offenses. Just, you know, noting down my every karmic activity, ready to give me my next body sooner than later. So we should think of Krishna as the coward boy in Vrindavan, the beautiful child of Mother Yashoda. We should chant to him. It's much more attractive to us. Then it's not that, you know, this is a heavy, heavy thing, trying to remember Krishna. You know, it's such a, you know, impossible task. Remembering that beautiful coward boy in Vrindavan is such, who knows, you know, he may take his flute and strike me with it. Yeah, when we think of how beautiful and wonderful and how sweet Krishna is, then we'll be attracted to remembering him. So thank you very much. Karantarayashana Mai Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Or Premendit. Srila Prabhupada Nanda Maharaj Ki Jai.